This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
So in this session, he'll share his insights on how we as believers can navigate global uncertainty with faith and resilience, and how we can play a positive role in shaping the future of our world. So without further ado, let's welcome Sheikh Asim to the stage and listen to what he has to say about the global uncertainty and our role as Muslims in making sense of the world around us and shaping a better future for ourselves and for the world.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bihadiyih wa istanna bi sunnatihi ila yawmiddin. أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Two points I would like to address before beginning this session. I'm not a doctor. I don't know why everyone insists on calling me Dr. Asim. I do not have a doctorate. I never pursued one. And I do not like the title. It's just Asim. Secondly, it is not befitting to describe someone as devoted himself to the spreading of... You devoted what, ya Sheikh? Come on, give me a break. I'm here on vacation. I come, they say, come, you have biryani, you have good meal, you stay in a five-star hotel, and you give a lecture or two. Okay. We do not know what's the meaning of devoting yourself to Allah Azza wa Jal. Let's be serious. So don't inflate people more than their actual size. They're here to give a lecture, give a talk, Jazakallah khair. But when you say they devoted themselves to Allah, and I think, me? Wow. So these two points I just wanted to address briefly, so that we put people in their actual size instead of giving them more than what they deserve. Now, the title is scary. What is the title? Global uncertainty. I'm a simple, humble person. I don't know these big words and politics and global changes and global warming and the likes. So my talk to you is going to be as simple as you and I, because this is best than giving big words and big topics that do not relate to us. So a big bun, a big loaf of bread, you know, this is the old ad they had in the 70s for Wendy's cheeseburgers. Three old women, tall, medium, short, and they come to the cheeseburger shop. They find this big cheeseburger. The tallest older woman says, a big loaf of bread. The medium-sized woman says, a big, big loaf of bread. And the shortest one, which is the grumpiest and oldest of all, lifts up the top of the sandwich and says, big loaf of bread, but where's the beef? It's a big cheeseburger, but where's the beef? So big words don't mean anything. We want something that relates to us. We want something that we can implement in our lives. So let us start with the beginning. This life we're in, what is it? It is merely a test. Allah Azza wa Jal has created us on earth to test us. Didn't Allah say in Surah Al-Mulk, Surah Tabarak, a surah of 30 ayah, each and every individual of us, I hope, recites it before going to bed. We memorize it by heart. Every Muslim memorizes it by heart. Why? Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us that whoever memorizes it will not be tormented in the grave. Ya Allah, 30 ayahs, 30, very simple. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل. Every single night you and I read it, definitely. So in the ayah number 2, Allah says, الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. And we ponder upon Allah's beautiful words. What does it say? Because it's addressed to us. Allah is not talking to animals. Allah is not talking to fish or birds. Allah is talking to you and me. So what is He telling us? He's telling us, who has created death and life, that He may test you, which of you is best in deed? Who among you is best in what they do? So all what you see in life and death is a test. However, we all, deep down in our subconscious, think and believe that testing cannot be except with calamities. Allah's testing is with disasters, with illnesses, with poverty. But this is not true. Allah says in the Quran, we shall make a trial of you with evil and with good, and to us you will return. So Allah is testing us not only with poverty, but with wealth. Not only by diseases and illnesses, but with health. Not only by insecurity, but by stability and security as well. All of these are tests from Allah. So don't think that you're saved. Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, explains this ayah, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةِ. He says, Allah tests us with hardship and prosperity, with health and illness, with wealth and poverty, with halal and haram, with obedience and with disobedience, with guidance and with misguidance. All of these are Allah's tests. And Allah's test to us is not like our teacher's testing. We can cheat, or we can get a tip, or we can buy the questions before the test day. And why is Allah testing us? First of all, we have to know that tests are inevitable. Every single person on earth is being tested. And this is a well universal fact. But these tests vary. Allah may test us to erase the many sins we have. And we have a backlog. We have plenty of sins. Or Allah may love us and test us to elevate our levels in Jannah. So instead of being in the first floor, Allah puts us in the penthouse. May Allah make you and I among those who are in the penthouse. في جنات الفردوس بإذن الله عز وجل. Allah says in the Quran, and whatever of misfortune befalls you, it is because of what your hands have earned. And He pardons a lot. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, no misfortune or disease befalls a Muslim, no worry or grief or harm or distress, not even a thorn that pricks him, but Allah will expiate for some of his sins because of that. Anything that befalls upon you, what do you say? I'm not hearing. Or, Alhamdulillah. First of all, إِنَّ لِلَّهُ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. This is true. But everything that befalls upon you, you say, Alhamdulillah, there is good in it that I may not see. So who does Allah test? Well, calamities and testing is a sign of Allah's love to you. And I can hear someone say, I don't want to be tested. And maybe I don't want Allah to love me. Just, I'd like to be safe. No. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, when he was asked, O Messenger of Allah, which of the people are most sorely tested? So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, said, the prophets, they are the most sorely tested. The prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then the next best and the next best. A man will be tested in accordance with his level of religious commitment. If his religious commitment is strong, he will be tested more severely. And if his religious commitment is weak, he will be tested in accordance with his religious commitment. Calamity will keep falling. A calamity will keep befalling a person until he walks on earth without a single sin on him. Allah would eradicate and erase all sins because of these calamities that had struck him. And each and every one of us has his own tailor-made calamity. And everyone looks at other people's calamity and think that they're better than him. So, not a soul on earth walks without a calamity or being tested. This man lost his job. Another one divorced his wife. A third has a disease. A fourth lost his house or lost his car or lost his business. Therefore, the happiest of all people, although they're all tested, the happiest of all people who has content in his heart for whatever Allah has decreed upon him. And this is done by looking at other people's calamities. The best of people are the prophets. Are you better than the prophets? So, if you lost your house in the recent crisis by floods, by earthquakes, by financial crisis, to a bank, if you lost your house, this is a calamity. But look at what happened to Prophet Adam. He ate from the forbidden truth, from the forbidden tree, the forbidden fruit. What happened to him? Not only he lost his house, he lost Jannah. He was descended from Jannah to earth, and this is why we're all here. So how do you think he feels? Yes, Allah has forgiven him. Allah has pardoned him. But at what price? If your son is disobedient, if your spouse, and I wouldn't say wife so that the women wouldn't hate me, but they hate me both ways, so what the heck? If your wife is nagging and complaining and always whining, and you think that you're the worst of all people being tested by Allah Azza wa Jal, how do you think Prophet Nuh feels? May Allah peace and blessing be upon him. 950 years he gives da'wah to his people. What happened at the end? He loses his wife and his own son who refused to believe and follow, and they drown in the flood. How do you think he feels? And have you lost your job? Among us, many people who are jobless, they're striving, they're looking for a job, and they feel that Allah hates them. They feel that they're doing dua and Allah doesn't answer them. Why is Allah not answering me? What have I done to them? They're complaining and they're wrong. Look at Prophet Musa, one of the strong-willed messengers. Subhanallah, Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and Muhammad, alayhi salam, the best of all messengers. Musa, did he lose his job? He was deprived from being with his mom since birth. And he was raised in the house and the mansion of his own enemy. And he goes, once he reaches youth and adulthood, he goes into the city. He finds one of his clan fighting with another. He tries to help. He just pushes the other and he dies. He flees the country and becomes an expat for 10 years, working as a shepherd to just find food and a decent wife. So how do you think he feels? Did he say, Allah is not giving me? He trusted Allah Azza wa Jal, and look what Allah did to him. And look at Prophet Yusuf. He is the son of a prophet. The son of a prophet. The son of Ibrahim, the messenger of Prophet of Allah. Four prophets in a row. Who can be more honorable than Yusuf, peace be upon him? Nevertheless, as a child, was abandoned and thrown by his own flesh and blood, by his own siblings, stabbed in the back and thrown into a well, caught by passers-by to be sold as a slave, raised in the mansion of Aziz of Egypt, only to be seduced by a beautiful, shockingly woman. And he refuses to bargain on his chastity as he fears Allah, to be punished and thrown in jail for a number of years, losing the most beautiful years of his life. Any one of us, if we're to be invited, my place or yours, I would answer immediately. Yusuf did not do that. He rather was thrown in jail rather than to respond to such filth and sin. Did he give up? If you were in jail for 10 years, wouldn't you feel deprived of Allah's mercy? Why Allah is doing this to me? Never give up. Never mistrust Allah. Never feel alone. He's always positive. What did he do? He started giving da'wah to the inmates in jail, and they all accepted Islam and they all returned to Allah. He's always positive, and this is what a Muslim really is, blessed wherever he is. This is a Muslim. He's blessed at work, he's blessed at school, he's blessed at home, he's blessed in his neighborhood, he's blessed in the masjid. Even when he goes to the gym, he's blessed. Akhi, you're wearing a necklace, this is haram. Akhi, you are not praying, it's prayer time, come. Akhi, your aura is exposed. Akhi, you're doing this, you're doing that. And with diplomacy and with kindness and with compassion, everybody would love you and you will be blessed like all the messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal. Finally, we look at Prophet Ibrahim. Ibrahim requires a separate session of his own because it's mind-blowing. This is why in Salah we say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala. Why Ibrahim? Why not Nuh? Why not Musa? Ibrahim is something else. Ibrahim, peace be upon him, a teenager, giving da'wah, destroying the idols, being punished by his people by building a huge fire and being thrown in it. Not afraid. Did not even blink. Jibreel comes, do you need something? Said, from you? No. Allah Azza wa Jalla is sufficient. Jibreel said, no, Allah is sufficient for me. And Allah says to the fire, be coolness and safety to Ibrahim. So he walks out. Allah Azza wa Jalla did not give him a child until he was over 80. And his wife was barren. And he thought that, khalas, this is Allah's qadr, this is Allah's will. Only to be blessed with Ismail when he was over 80. So imagine when your child is 14 years of age and you feel that he is there for you to take care of you when you're old. When you are not able to walk, you need the support. You need someone to back you up. Allah gives you this boy, and just when he was there for you, the command comes, the test comes. What? Slaughter him. It comes to you in a dream, but you know as a messenger that dreams of the messengers are revelations. You have no choice but to comply. What does he do? He puts him on the ground and says, son, Allah tells me to slaughter you. Can you do this? Can you comply with such a test? What does the son say? Father, do whatever you're ordered. I'll be among the patient. Don't worry. Just as he puts him down and he wants to slaughter him, Allah sacrifices him with a big ram from the heaven and says to him, you have complied. These tests are not random. But why does Allah test us? Isn't Allah most forgiving, most merciful? Couldn't Allah Azza wa Jal just send us to Jannah? Couldn't Allah Azza wa Jal make life easy and rosy and pink and multicolor? Why is Allah doing this to us? Isn't He capable? You have to be careful when asking such questions. Really careful. Number one, Allah is not your CEO in the company who you can question. Allah is not a parliament member who you can question. Allah is not your neighbor. Allah is the owner of this whole universe. So no one has the right to question Allah, because Allah says in the Quran, لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلْ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. He is not questioned about whatever he does, but they, each and every individual, will be questioned. So you don't ask Allah Azza wa Jal. These creations are His. If He wills it, He will toss them all in hellfire, and no one can object, and no one can question Him, and no one can refuse. No one has the right to hold Allah to account. If He takes us to Jannah, this is His favor upon us. And if He throws us in hell, this is His justice upon us. And we are between His favor and His justice. Secondly, it goes without questioning. And each and every individual, if you have this slightest doubt, you can't be a Muslim. Doubt in what? That Allah Azza wa Jal is fair and just. So you do not have the slightest doubt that Allah is fully fair and just, and no one is wronged at the side of Allah. This makes you believe that whatever Allah preordains upon you is good for you. Whatever Allah decrees upon you is good for you. I lost my child, it's good for you. I am sick, it's good for you. My mother died, it's good for you. Because you believe that Allah Azza wa Jal is the most merciful, the most knowledgeable, the fair, the just. Thirdly, these tests erase your sins. The Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, trails will continue to befall the believing man or woman in himself, in his child, in his wealth, until he meets Allah with no sin on him. This is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, who knows what's happening. And fourthly, these calamities and tests are a chance to contemplate, to reflect, to revise our lives. We live our daily routines unchanged, and we keep on thinking that life is good. Life is great. Wow, I have more money. I have more business. I have more success. I have more children. I have no problems. Look at everyone else. They are falling like flies, and I am thriving. What is happening? You get a wake-up call, a slam on the face, a hit on the head from Allah Azza wa Jal. Why? To get you back on track, to get you to Allah. So many of us were so negligent and ignorant. With a simple calamity, we all started doing tahajjud. We started to pray on time. We started making dua, reading Quran, asking Allah for forgiveness. Isn't this calamity better than $1 million? Yes, indeed. This calamity made me come back to Allah, made me know Allah, made me reflect on my life and be appreciative of whatever Allah has given me. So it has woken me up from my sleep. Fifthly, calamities reveal our true identity. We, to the people, are good people. Only calamities expose us and shows, do we walk the talk? We all, mashallah, say good words, Islam, we have to defend Islam, we have to preach Islam, we have to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. But when you test me on my rizq, when my income is threatened, when I get a very hefty, big, fat check just to compromise the deen, Sheikh, I divorced my wife 75 times and I would like to get back to her. I said, haram, Sheikh. 3 times is enough and the rest is a bonus. What is this? Are you AK-47? Kalashnikov? This is divorce? What is this? You're playing with Allah's zikr? Sheikh, I love my wife and this is a check of $500,000 just in case. Well, this is the difference of the opinion of scholars. We will talk. Let's go for dinner. Watch out. This is where Allah exposes you. How many of us were exposed when business transaction was at risk and we had to give bribes or we have to take bribes or we had to cheat, we had to lie, we had to do this and that? Allah says in the Quran, do people, and this is in the beginning of Surah Al-Ankabut, the spider, do people think that they will be left alone because they say we believe and will not be tested? And we indeed tested those who were before them, and Allah will certainly make it known the truth of those who are true, and will certainly make it known the falsehood of those who are liars. Allah exposes us in this life with such calamities. The question that everyone may be asking himself, how do I become patient when Allah tests me? How do I not break? How do I pass the test? First of all, you have to acknowledge that the tests are from Allah the wise, Allah the merciful. Allah did not send this test to annihilate and kill you or destroy you. Allah Azza wa Jal, and this I've heard many times in my counseling sessions, people come to me and they start to vent and complain. Why Allah is doing this? Why I have prayed to Allah 5 years and He did not respond to me? Why is He doing this? Yahi, is this appropriate to talk about Allah? Why is He doing this? If someone was addressed like this, or addressed a king or someone of influence, he will crush him on the spot. How about Allah Azza wa Jal when you speak about Him like this? When Allah deprive you from what you had asked Him, He did not deprive you because He's poor. Allah owns everything in this universe. And when He deprives you, He did not deprive you because He's stingy. Allah is the most generous. Look at billionaires, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and the likes. They have billions and billions. Who gave it to them? Their intellect? Their power? Allah. And Allah can strip them from it in a heartbeat. So when Allah deprives you of something, wallahi, and I'm swearing, He did this for your goodness in this life and the hereafter. But the problem is that you refuse to concede and believe. And this means that you have failed your test. How to be patient? When you look at your calamity and compare it to other favors and blessings of Allah that he has given you. A man once came to a scholar and said, scholar, Allah has tested me with poverty and I'm poor. He said, I'll give you 100,000 for one of your eyes. He said, of course not. I'll give you 100,000 for your arm. I'll give you 100,000 for your leg. And the guy says, you're crazy. I'm not going to give you any of those. So, mashallah, you have billions. You have millions of on you, and you complain that Allah is testing you with poverty. Allah has given you so much. And most of the people, unfortunately, show their ingratitude. I'm not thirsty, by the way. Yeah. I always ask people, describe this glass. Some say half full. Some say half empty. It's the same glass, correct? Those who say half full are the appreciative people. They always say, Ya Allah, lak alhamd, you gave me half full glass. I know people who have no water in their glasses. I know people who don't have glasses to begin with. So they're always content and happy, like those you go to and visit in poor areas. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. How are you? Alhamdulillah, Rabbi lak alhamd. Allah gave us everything. Gave you what? You're paralyzed. You're blind. You don't have a roof on your head. You don't have food on the table. I said, yes, but Allah gave me so much. This is weird. And those who say it's half empty, they're always bitching and whining. Excuse my French. They're always complaining. Why? Why not full? I know brothers who have 6 or 7 glasses. They have bottles. They have tanks. Why me? Why this empty? So they're never appreciative to what Allah has given them. When you compare what you have with those deprived, you'll always be on top and be grateful and be thankful. Always say Alhamdulillah. For what? For what Allah has given you. If your calamity is in your wealth, say Alhamdulillah, it's not in your body. Sheikh, I've lost my business. Okay. Would you like to give you back your business but lose the ability to walk, to be paralyzed? No, Sheikh. How would I do this? No, I'd rather be poor but be able to walk, be able to see, be able to eat. If your calamity is in your health, praise Allah Azza wa Jal that it is not in your religion. The worst of all calamities is in that in people's religion. Wallahi, thumma wallahi, thumma wallah. To lose every single penny in your pocket, to lose your wife and your children, to lose everything you possess, but to maintain on Islam is better than to keep it and lose your Islam. Why? Because at the end of the day, you're dead. We are all walking dead. When are we going to die? Huh? How old are you, uncle? He says, I'm 90. So how long you think you're going to live? I've heard of Nuh. He lived 950 years. So I think I have another 860. Yeah, Sheikh, come on. You're dying. Everybody thinks that I still have some overtime. I have spare time. Maybe another 10 years, another 20 years. At the end of the day, what will happen? You're dead. So when you manage to understand that the best and most valuable asset is your religion, whatever you lose is okay. Alhamdulillah, I pray 5 times a day. I pray Fajr on time. I pray Witr. I fast. I give charity. And I'm content with whatever Allah Azza wa Jal decrees. You are in Jannah, inshaAllah. When you look and compare these calamities and see how it materializes into good deeds and hasanat, then you will be happy. Because when you come on the Day of Judgment, you will find mountains and mountains of good deeds. Who's this? It's yours. I think I'm in the wrong chamber. I didn't do all of this. Yes, you did. You were tested and you were patient. And all of this is yours because of your patience. And what helps you tolerate calamities, as we have a little time, is that if you tolerate a calamity, then you will be rewarded. But the calamity will remain. And if you don't tolerate it, you will be sinful. and the calamity will be the same. A man loses his son. He's one of two. Either he's going to be patient or not. Those who are patient would say, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa khlufni khayran minha. And he's content. Oh, akhi, you lost your son. Alhamdulillah. Aren't you sad? Wallahi, I am sad and I'm weeping, but I am content. Allah chose the best for him. And alhamdulillah, he did not make many sins. So inshallah, he will await for me in Jannah and Allah will substitute me with something better. And this is Allah's decree and ordainment. So I'm happy with that. Is his son going to come back to life? No, but he's rewarded. The other one starts banging his head against the wall, tears his clothes, slaps his face, complains, objects. Why me? Why my son? Why not my neighbors? Why not my friends? What did he do to you? What did I do to you? And he keeps on complaining and objecting for a whole month. What happens after 1 month? He comes down, he forgets, business as usual. He goes to the gym, he eats, he drinks, he enjoys life, as nothing has happened. Is his son coming back to life? No. But he's sinful and he will be punished for his way of behavior. And among the greatest of all favors and blessings of Allah upon us, that calamities do not continue. They must end. Imagine how many calamities have passed by you in your life. And you remember, oh, in that year, this happened. I lost my job. I lost my wealth. One of the business partners cheated me and took off my money. I was afflicted by this. I was incarcerated. Now, alhamdulillah, everything is fine. Calamities do not continue. They must come to an end. And this is why Allah says in the Quran, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. So verily, with hardship, there is relief. Verily, with hardship, there is relief. Two reliefs with one hardship. So definitely, you will win if you are patient. And finally, to those who say, why do I ask and make dua and Allah does not answer? This is not true. Allah answers every single dua you make. Sheikh, I beg to differ. I have been calling Allah Azza wa Jal for so many years and He did not answer. Could this be? Yes or no? Those who say yes, raise your hand. Could this be that you're calling Allah for so many years and He doesn't answer? Raise your hand. Yes. One, two, okay, let's see the opposite. No. Oh, okay, that's good, mashallah. Everybody says no. This is impossible. When you make dua, Allah answers. Ya Allah, grant me $1 million. I know it's going to happen. The problem is, the Prophet told us how it's going to happen. Number one, oh Allah, grant me $1 million. Boom. My uncle in Brazil dies. He happens to be a multi-millionaire. I'm the only heir. So I inherit $1 million. MashaAllah. Gift from Allah. Alhamdulillah. Allah answered my prayer. Number two. This is the Prophet saying, the ways of Allah's answering. Oh Allah, grant me $1 million. Nothing happens. The Prophet says, Allah deflicts harm that was predestined to happen to you, equivalent to this. So my business was supposed to receive a shock that makes me lose $1 million. One way or the other, Allah makes it happen, and Allah is the best of planners, and alhamdulillah, I avoid this loss, but I don't see it. Like, ya Allah, give me $1,000, and it doesn't come. And while I'm driving, all of a sudden, a car jumps in front of me. I managed to, the last second, avoid it. Otherwise, I could have crashed into it. It would have costed me $1,000. But Allah saved me. What do I do? Yeah, I'm a good driver. Michael Schumacher, Formula One. This is what we do. We see calamities that we have escaped to be our own strength and power are never attributed to Allah Azza wa Jalla by saying, Alhamdulillah, Allah saved me. Number three, Ya Allah, grant me $1 million. He doesn't give it to me here. He does not deflect harm that was coming to me equivalent to $1 million, but he saves it to me on the day of judgment. I come on the day of judgment and I see mountains and mountains of good deeds. I didn't do this. Angels say, this is your dua. So never despair, never doubt Allah. Make as many dua as you want and Allah will give you. Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, said, O Prophet of Allah, then we make a lot of dua. If this is the case, I will make 6 hours of dua. I'm a winner both ways. The Prophet said, Allah is more. You make dua, Allah is more. Do you think Allah Azza wa Jal needs you or he's poor? How many, and I will conclude by that, how many times did I say this statement? This is the third time. Third is a charm. Inshallah, I will conclude with that. How many humans are on earth? 7 billion? Give or take. Maybe 8 billion. Who provides for each individual? Imagine. Once I was in my high-riser in Kuala Lumpur to attend the conference, devoted for da'wah. Anyhow, I was there enjoying my 5-star hotel, looking at the people at the rush hour, like ants, in their motorcycles, in their cars, in the hundreds of thousands. And I'm thinking, Ya Allah, each and everyone has a problem, has a debt, has a sick person, has needs, has desires. Allah is giving each and everyone without a doubt. Every single individual on earth, Allah is providing for. Only humans, even the jinn, in their billions. Even the animals, how many animals? In Africa, in Asia, in elsewhere. How many fish underneath the oceans and the rivers? Trillions. How many birds? How many insects? Allah takes care of all of them, but Allah only gives Jannah to you. You want Jannah? Comply with Allah, with Allah's decree and be satisfied. هذا والله أعلم ونسبة العلم إليه أسلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.